be looking at an account from the life of David this evening, 2 Kings chapter number 5, excuse me, 2 Samuel. Did I say Samuel first and then I changed it to Kings? That's because I turned to Kings and I just read what it said. And so 2 Samuel chapter number 5, 2 Samuel chapter number 5, and be looking at verses 17 through 25 this evening. In this passage of Scripture, we are told of the battle that takes place. David is set up as being anointed king over all of Israel in the beginning of 2 Samuel chapter 5. And the Philistines hear about this, and so they come to do battle. And it's very interesting because in verse number 17, it says that the Philistines came up to seek David. They weren't coming to bring him a present. They weren't coming to congratulate him. They were coming to do battle. They were coming to kill him, really, is what they wanted to do. And so as we look at this passage of Scripture, of course, we know that as we go to the Word of God, as we go to the Bible, that God is so gracious to provide us with a record of historical events. But we know that the Bible is so much more than just a bunch of history. We find that as we go to the Word of God that, yes, the historical accounts are provided for us and we can trust the accuracy of the historical account that's provided. But as we look at the events that God records for us, we find that He records these events so that we might learn valuable lessons. And we understand from studying the New Testament that often both the church in Corinth and believers in Rome, they were encouraged by the opportunity to learn from the Scriptures, from the Old Testament. In fact, as Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. He's talking about the Old Testament. And we find that God has given us these portions of Scripture, yes, to provide a record of history, but the lessons for us are extremely valuable. This evening, if you're taking notes, I've titled the message tonight, Lessons in the Valley of Rephaim. Lessons in the Valley of Rephaim. It's interesting, Rephaim means an old tribe of giants. And we know amongst the Philistines, there was one notable giant that we are very familiar with that David, of course, slew in the power of God, that being Goliath. But we understand that there are many giants in the land. When the children of Israel were doing their measures to spy out the land, they came back speaking of the giants. And so this name, this place where they are, is known as the old tribe of giants. Notice with me, we'll begin reading in verse 17. The Bible says this, "But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David. David heard of it and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim." We'll go down through verse number 25 this evening as we study this passage of Scripture, but I find the first lesson that I believe is a lesson that is valuable for each of us to learn this evening is this: the enemy is relentless. The enemy is relentless. We understand here physically, we're speaking about the enemy being that of the Philistines. And we understand as you study the Old Testament, you study the pages of Scripture, that many times the children of Israel are doing battle with the Philistines. And you find that there's many, many references to the Philistines coming against the people of God and the battles that were fought between the children of Israel and the Philistines. But of course, as we look at the fact that the enemy is relentless from this portion of Scripture and looking specifically at the Philistines from a contextual perspective, we understand this evening that we have an enemy. And the enemy that we have is Satan. We understand the Bible teaches us that we have an enemy, and our enemy is relentless. Just as the Philistines are relentless in this portion of Scripture, we find that our enemy is relentless. Notice with me here in verses 17 and 18, as I've read already, that the Philistines come and they gather for this battle. The Bible tells us that they came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim in verse 18. And we find that this is the first battle, but the Bible tells us, if you look in verse number 21, notice what the Bible says. Well, look at verse 20. "And David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there and said, The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters. Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Perazim, and there they left their images, and David and his men burned them." So we find, according to verse 20 and 21, that the Philistines are defeated. The Bible tells us in verse number 20 that David smote them. Them is the Philistines. He defeated the Philistines. The Bible tells us, of course, we would understand that in a battle such as this, as they are being defeated, that there'd be a measure of folks that would retreat and so on and so forth. And we find that these enemies, they were defeated. And notice what the Bible tells us in verse 21, that there in this place where this battle took place, they left their images, their false gods, their idols that they worshipped. And the Bible tells us that David and his men burned them. By the way, that's a good decision. We find that there's no room for idols, and we find that David did not just store them somewhere so that someone else might become captive to them and become a stumbling block to some other person within the nation of Israel, but they burned these images. But I want you to know, as we speak about this first lesson this evening from this passage of Scripture, that the enemy is relentless, I want you to note the first few words of verse 22. The Bible says, and the Philistines came up yet again. Even after they were defeated, even after they suffered the way that they did in verse 20, and even after they left their images, their idols, these false gods, and David and his men burned them, the very next verse of Scripture tells us that the Philistines came up yet again. And it's interesting to me, as we begin to understand the behavior of the enemy and we begin to understand what's taking place here contextually with the nation of Israel and David as he's leading his people, but we of course understand in a broader sense in making application this evening that we have an enemy, and our enemy is relentless. You may have victory today, but he's going to come knock on your door tomorrow, right? And we find that the enemy is relentless, and it's important for us to understand that. The Word of God, Peter, of course, tells us, and he understood what it was to be sifted. Remember, the Bible tells us that Jesus told Peter, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But what encouraging words when Jesus says, but I have prayed for thee. That when thy faith, that when thou art converted, that you would strengthen your brethren. And we find that Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, would write about our enemy. He says that we have an enemy and that he is seeking whom he may devour. And our enemy is relentless. And he is relentless, and we see that here in this passage of Scripture as we learn lessons in the Valley of Rephaim. Number one, the first valuable lesson is that the enemy is relentless. It tells us that they came up yet again in verse 22 and spread themselves in the Valley of Rephaim. And so they come again, and they're seeking to kill David. They're seeking to be victorious. And so this evening, I trust that we learned this lesson, that our enemy is relentless. We can never take a day off. There's never a day in our lives as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, that we can say, I don't really need the armor today. Oh, no. Put on the whole armor of God. Every single day, we are engaged in spiritual warfare. And we must understand that our enemy is relentless. Someone said this, a preacher of yesteryear, that Satan will come by your door 1,000 days in a row to find it cracked just once. There's a lot of truth to that. We find the enemy is relentless. I want you to notice the second truth that we find here, a valuable lesson for us in this passage of Scripture. Number two, prayer is required. You know, prayer is a unique privilege for every child of God. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to go to God in prayer. And we understand as we look at this passage of Scripture that in each case we read that David inquired of the Lord. He sought the face of God. And we find in verse number 19, remember, we read verses 18, 17 and 18 already, how the Philistines came, they heard that David had been anointed to be king over Israel, and the Philistines come and they spread themselves abroad. And the Bible says in verse 19, and David inquired of the Lord. I'm thankful that David sought the face of God. Prayer is required. Listen, we can never overemphasize the importance of prayer in our lives. We find that the Bible tells us that David did not only inquire the Lord, not only did he pray, but he prayed specifically. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 19, shall I go up to the Philistines? That's a good question. God, do you want me to do battle with the Philistines? David heard of it. It tells us in verse number 17, after they came and they were going to come up to seek David, that David heard of it and went down to the hold. And David inquires of the Lord, and he asks first, shall I go up to the Philistines? I like the second question. Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? David wants to know, not only am I to go into battle, but he wants to know if God's going to work on his behalf. He wants to know if he's going to be victorious in battle. And he asks God, he prays specifically, he seeks the face of God, and we find that God answers. The Bible says, and the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. That's encouraging, isn't it? We find that God answers the prayer specifically that David prayed. He asked specifically, should I go? And then he asked, am I going to be victorious? And God answers, he says, go up, I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. But I want you to understand that after the first victory in verses 20 and 21 that we read about, and then the second encounter in verse 22 when the Philistines came up yet again, I want you to notice it's very important that we recognize this in verse 23, that the Bible says, and when David inquired of the Lord. You know, it's important that we understand here in verse number 23 that David did not just presume upon God. David did not just take the approach that, well, they came up before, we're in the same place, and we had battle, we had victory, they were defeated, we overcame them, and so we're just going to go ahead and follow the same pattern. Isn't it? I mean, it's a blessing as we look at the entirety of the Scripture here, and we find as David inquired of the Lord again, I'm sure he's glad that he did, because you know why? God gave him different direction. God gave him different instruction for this second encounter with the Philistines here at Rephaim. And we find that as we look at the text of Scripture, that the Bible says that he inquired of the Lord, and then God answers. It says, thou shalt not go up. Wow. God is giving him different direction. What if he had just presumed upon the Lord? You know, there are times in our lives when we presume upon the Lord. We find here that David is praying, he's seeking the face of God. Prayer communicates our dependence on God. Prayer communicates our dependence on God. I'm not just relying on my own experience. I'm not depending on my own training. David was a man that had been victorious. David was a man that had had many victories in battle, but he's seeking the face of God. And I'm thankful for that. Because as we look at the account that is provided to us here in the text of Scripture in Rephaim, there's some valuable lessons for us. We see that the enemy is relentless, but we see that prayer is required. You know, it's amazing how many times we see the emphasis of prayer throughout the Word of God. That we see the people of God that pray and how God's hand is moved through the prayers of His people. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Think about this. Hold your place here. Turn to the book of 1 Samuel, if you will. And I want you to notice what happens in 1 Samuel chapter number 7. I want you to see here a different set of circumstances. David's not even been anointed to be the king yet over Israel, but Samuel is here. And it's interesting, for here as we look at this passage of Scripture, we see once again that the children of Israel are in battle against who? The Philistines. And here the Bible tells us, I'm just to emphasize the subject of prayer here and the necessity of prayer. Notice in verse number 5, Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah. Notice what he says, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. So Samuel tells the people of God, earlier in the passage of Scripture, he tells them, basically he charges them that they better get right with God if they're going to expect to have victory, and they needed to put away their false gods and so on and so forth. You can read that in verse 3. But we find that he then, after the response of the people to the charge and the command that he gave them, he says, I will pray for you unto the Lord. And I want you to think about the significance of this. Notice what the children of Israel say back to Samuel in verse number 8. It says, the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. So Samuel says, I'm going to pray for you. And the people, the children of Israel, say, they say, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us. And then notice in verse number 9, the Bible says that Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And then notice the last phrase in verse 9, and Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel. But then there's such encouragement in these words, and the Lord heard him. You know, God hears our prayer. We find here that David, he was in a situation where he needed divine direction. He needed to know, what am I to do in this situation? And in the Valley of Rephaim, we learn first that the enemy is relentless, but we learn second that prayer is required. Notice this as we finish up the text of Scripture, obedience is rewarded. The third lesson that we learn in Rephaim is that obedience is rewarded. God continues to give David instruction in verse 23 and verse 24 with regard to this second battle, if you will. And he says this, God says, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. This is a lot different than the first battle, isn't it? I bet you David was happy he asked, right? He didn't presume upon the Lord. And we find that God gives him specific instruction. And as we look at the text of Scripture, we find here in the text that obedience is rewarded. The victory that was recorded for us in the first battle was the result of David's obedience. In verse number 20, when the Bible says that David smote them there and they were defeated, and he cries out, he says that the Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me. That's because in verse number 19, God said, go up. And David didn't stand still. David went up. He obeyed what God told him to do. And after God gives us direction, there's no longer a need to pray. Amen? There are certain things as believers, because we have the complete canon of Scripture, that I don't need to pray about, because God's already commanded me to do it. And so I don't need to pray about whether I'm going to do what God's already told me to do. I just need to obey it. But in this particular situation, when David has sought the face of God because of the enemy being relentless, and he prays and he's seeking God for direction, then when God gives direction, obedience is necessary. And the Bible says that David went up and he had victory in verse number 20. Now as we come to verse number 25 in this second battle with these Philistines here at Rephaim, notice what the Bible says in verse 25, and David did so as the Lord had commanded him. He did so as the Lord had commanded him. He obeyed the instruction, the direction that God gave him, and because he obeyed, his obedience was rewarded. For the Bible says at the end of verse number 25, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer. And as we look at the text of Scripture and we see the victory, we can rejoice with David that there's a victory in Rephaim. But obedience is rewarded, and we understand the importance of obedience. We've understood as we've studied the Word of God in so many places of the Scriptures that God teaches us that He rewards obedience. As we just simply determine that we're going to obey the Lord, we sing the song, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. God's placed a premium on obedience. And we find that as we look at the Scriptures, notice and look at Exodus 40. We'll use this example this evening in closing. In Exodus chapter number 40, I want you to notice what the Bible tells us here in this portion of Scripture. We won't read much of it due to the time, but I want you to see that the Bible here in this portion of Scripture is recording for us the tabernacle being set up in Exodus chapter number 40. What a What a momentous occasion, by the way. God had faithfully given the direction to the children, to Moses with regard to all of the furniture and all that would be done, the curtains and the, I mean, just all of it. I mean, so much detail that God provided and God put within Bezalel and Aholibam the opportunity to know how to do these things, to have the skill to be able to complete that which had been given. And we find that the Word of God tells us that here in this portion of Scripture, thus did Moses, look at verse 16, thus did Moses according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. Obedience. It's interesting, in the next several verses of Scripture, you'll read at the end of the verses that the Bible says, as the Lord commanded Moses. And so they set this up, they reared this up, as the Lord commanded Moses. They did this, as the Lord commanded Moses. And so we find that takes place, and then you come to verse 33, and the last phrase says, so Moses finished the work. He was obedient to do what God had told him to do. And then the Bible tells us that the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. You read that at the end of verse number 35. So verse 34, the first word is then. As a result of the obedience, the obedience is rewarded here. And the Bible tells us at the end of verse 35 that the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. You know, God still blesses obedience today. Obedience today in the life of a believer is still rewarded by God. God still today places a premium on obedience. As we think about the Valley of Rephaim and we think about lessons that we can learn, more than just understanding the historical account that God provides us with, we learn that the enemy is relentless. Have you found it to be so in your life? He walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The spiritual warfare that we're engaged in and the way in which the enemy wants to conquer us and destroy us, he's relentless. Have you understood in your life how necessary prayer is? Prayer is required. Listen, we need to seek the face of God. Direction in our lives. How many times Paul prays for those that he's ministering to, and he tells them, he communicates to them, I'm praying for you. And he encourages these believers by telling them, I'm praying for you. And then we find that Paul requests that folks would pray for him. Obedience is rewarded. God, through Moses, says to the children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy, he says, this day I set before you a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey. And that's still the case today. God blesses obedience. The obedience of David is rewarded. The Philistines are gathered. They're going to fight against us. They want to kill us. God, what do we do? Go up. I'll deliver them into your hand. And he did. God, they've come again. What do we do? Thou shalt not go up. He talks about the mulberry trees. I have no idea what the sound was going to be, but he obviously knew what the sound was going to be. And so when you hear that sound, here's what you do. And he did. He obeyed. And God blessed and God rewarded. And they had victory. Lessons in the Valley of Rephaim. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the opportunity to study, not only to understand historical accounts of what took place and how you worked and how your power is demonstrated. But I pray this evening that as we've looked at these three lessons, God, that you would help us to seal these truths in our hearts. That we would daily be aware of the fact that we have an enemy, that our enemy is relentless. God, would you help us to understand the importance of prayer in our lives. As we communicate through our prayer time, our dependence upon you, oh God, would you help us to have a revival in our prayer lives. And God, would you help us to rejoice in the truth that obedience is rewarded. There are times in which we may feel as if it's no use or no one notices. God, I pray that you'd help us to just obey you. Help us to just keep our eyes upon you. upon your word, and day by day, help us to trust you and obey you. We thank you for the opportunity on Wednesday evenings as a corporate body of believers to spend time in prayer. What a privilege, what a blessing. And I pray, God, that as we have this prayer time tonight, that you would meet with us. I pray that you would work in each situation, that you'd be exalted and glorified. Well, thank you for all that you'll do, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.